Before I go any farther, it seems to me at least that the microphone is very powerful. I don't know if you guys agree or if it sounds normal to you, but I don't know. Maybe I can try to step back a little bit, but we're going to try. But it sounds to me like I'm very loud. So hopefully, if I am, that's, I guess it is my fault, but we're going to go with it. So, now I'm distracted. But we want, as we hear this reading, my first thought immediately goes to the idea of vocations, that our Lord has chosen these 72 to participate in a way in the mission that he had already established, the mission that he had called the 12 to and sent them out to perform. And in doing so, it reminds all of us that our Lord has a special vocation for each and every one of us, that our God loves us so intimately that he desires each and every one of us to enter into a relationship with him. He has chosen to call us. To call us to be with him. To live his life. And this is really the ultimate meaning of that vocation. That each and every one of us is called by God. Called by name to live a life in eternity with him. And to do so, we're going to live a life on this earth with him. A life on this earth which prepares our hearts for union with him. A life on this earth which stretches us beyond our own natural capacities so that we have entered into the supernatural. Allowing his grace to influence our lives so that our natural human virtues can be elevated to supernatural virtues. So that our natural life can be infused with his grace and can become a supernatural life. The vocation of every man, woman, and child who has ever been called into existence is to live a life with God in his infinite love. And this, my friends, is cause for great rejoicing. That God loves us so much that he sent his Son into the world to enter into our human condition, to unite all humanity with the divinity. So that our human nature can be brought up into the divine nature. So that our lives have ultimate meaning. Our lives have a meaning beyond this earth. A meaning that is written, as our Lord says in today's gospel, that is written in heaven. Our lives, our vocation is to be infinite. Our lives, our vocation is to be with God. And this is the cause for us to rejoice. And so we want to question ourselves not only then about vocations, but we want to question ourselves, do our lives extend the joy of God into this world? Have we allowed God's love to so penetrate our cold and stony hearts that they are melted by his divine fire and set aflame so that the joy of God is going through us into the whole world? Do other people look at us and say, wow, that person is fully alive. That person is on fire. And they question themselves, why? What about that person is so amazing? What about that person is so vivacious? What is it about that person, that Christian, that I want to be? And this is how we are going to enter into that life of the evangelization that we are all called to participate in. And this also is how our community becomes one of vocations. Vocations to holiness. Vocations to joy. Vocations in which each individual hears the call of God and is able to respond with a total sacrifice of self that leads them into a deeper relationship with God that causes them to experience the fullness of joy. This is truly the essence of the Christian life. And it was about this that our seminarian Colin Davis was speaking about on Wednesday evening in his first talk on the spiritual exercises. He says what one of the things he loves most about St. Ignatius's spiritual exercises is that as he describes the Christian life, he describes it as a both and. Both doing good for Christ. Changing our lives for Christ so that we can love him and love others through him. But also, not only about doing good, but also spending time with him. contemplating him, finding a relationship with him, finding in our relationship with God, with Christ, a deeply fulfilling, life-giving source of renewal and power. I think we could all look forward to listening more to those talks. The first one is available online, and the second, third, and fourth one will be delivered in the successive Wednesday evenings down in the parish hall. But regardless of St. Ignatius's take, certainly we can see that understanding of that life-giving relationship, that joyful relationship that is then called to action in today's gospel. Our Lord calls these 72 others, and he sends them out ahead of him to be his missionaries, to prepare the way, to preach the kingdom of God. And they find in their relationship with Christ a power that enables them or empowers them to perform great deeds. And yet still, they don't just do those deeds for their own sake. The thing that they do is then they come and they return, and it says they return to rejoicing so as to share the good news that they had experienced out in the world with Jesus Christ. They came back and it says, Lord, we want to tell you about the amazing things that we experienced out there, because we know that the source of our life is not doing amazing things, but is you. And so it should be with all of us. That we come to Mass on Sunday to be empowered by God, to be fed by God, to receive his life and his forgiveness. And then we go out into the world at the end of the Mass, as the priest says, go forth. The Mass is ended. Go forth, because you are sent to be the light to the world. You are sent to bring joy to those who are suffering. You are sent to be Jesus Christ to those who will never encounter him except through you. And that experience out in the world should then bring you back to Mass, back to our Lord, back to the Eucharist, to say to God, Lord, I have done amazing things in your name. Lord, I have experienced tremendous events in my life, and I know that I owe it all to you. We want to consider what sort of amazing events, what sort of empowering, life-changing scenarios our Lord is going to send us forth into. And so we listen to the words that our Lord said to those whom he was sending out. He says, behold, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. Carry nothing with you. Don't take extra supplies, for I will be your strength. For I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. And I don't know, I've never really truly witnessed what happens when a lamb and a wolf meet. But my imagination, I think, satisfies, as all of your imaginations can. It's not going to end well for the lamb. And so we look at our Lord, and we see that he first was the lamb. As St. John the Baptist said, behold, the Lamb of God. And we see that it did not end well for the lamb. And that's what he's sending us out to be crucified. In this entire passage of Luke's gospel, he is on his way to Jerusalem. He has resolutely set forth himself to Jerusalem, and he announced to his apostles, I am going to Jerusalem to die. My brothers and sisters, our vocation as Christians is to unite our lives in the life of Jesus Christ, which always finds its way to the cross. Each and every one of us needs to see in our life how we are called to join our Lord on the cross. And we do not need to be afraid. Do not be afraid when you find yourself on the cross. Do not be afraid when your life is filled with suffering, with mourning, with difficulty. Our Lord says, blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are those who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness. Blessed are you when they persecute you and utter terrible things against you because of me. Remember the ending of that beatitude. Rejoice and be glad, for yours is the kingdom of God. And so the disciples are warned by our Lord that you will enter into towns that will reject you. You will go forth bringing peace, and they will reject you. And when you do so, do not despair, but rejoice. because you're not working for this world. Your vocation is not to be the greatest in this world. Your vocation is to live a life with God. And your relationship with God is more powerful than all the suffering that you will encounter because of his name. Your vocation with God is all the more powerful when he invites you to join your sufferings to his on the cross. So that when you come to Mass on Sunday and you say, Lord, let me put upon this altar all of this week's suffering and pain. Lord, let me put upon this altar all of the rejection I felt in the office because I refused to join in the gossip, because I stood up for the Catholic faith when it was being denounced, and now people reject me. They don't want to invite me to the parish to the office parties or the office jokes. I am rejected by my people, Lord, and I bring it to you so that through your cross it can be brought up to God Almighty in heaven, and I can receive life-giving power. Life-giving power. This, my friends, when we enter into a relationship with God in this way, one that he is the source of all of our joy, one in which he is the power that influences all of our daily actions, is what is going to create a parish community that is truly alive, where each one of us knows that God loves us and he wants to love others through us. This is what is going to inspire young men to give their lives to be priests. Just as now we know Father Hahn, who was able to join us last Sunday, was able to do. Give his life to the priesthood. Because in doing so, he has found in his relationship with Jesus Christ the greatest joy, the greatest peace that this world could not offer him. This is also what, though, is going to call young girls to give their lives to Christ, to become his brides, to enter into that special vocation of being a sister or a nun. They're only going to do so when they know that our families think that Christ is the reason for our existence, that he is the reason why we wake up in the morning, and he is the reason why we go throughout each day's activities, and he is the reason that motivates us and empowers us and gives us life. My brothers and sisters, we are called by God in today's gospel to live a life in union with him, so that we might rejoice. That theme of rejoicing, let all the earth cry out to God with joy, was our psalm. That theme of rejoicing was in the collect that opened today's Mass. We know that we are sent like lambs among wolves, but we know that truly the crucifixion is not the end. And so when I said that it ended badly for the Lamb of God, truly I misspoke. For the crucifix was not the end. Our Lord was buried, and on the third day, he rose again victorious. And so in the book of Revelation, we see the Lamb of God standing, though slain, victorious over all that had come across him. My brothers and sisters, if you desire to stand victorious, if you desire on the day of judgment to stand before our Lord God and say, truly now I live, then you need to encounter Jesus Christ in this life so that his death and your death are united, so that you too can rise victorious over the suffering and death. You need to give your sins over to God so that he can free you from them and give you new life. You need to give your entire life over to Jesus Christ so that he can empower that life and bring you forth triumphant through the difficulties of this world. In doing so, I promise you, God has created you for this, and so he will give you the fullness of joy, a joy that this world cannot offer, a joy that can never be taken from you, for your name, as Jesus said, is written in heaven which has no end. Our Lord says, I watched Satan fall like lightning from the sky. He knows what is out there. He has seen the destruction and the despair. And he is more victorious. He is more powerful than all of that. Let us commit ourselves to Christ. Let us bring everything we've got to the altar of sacrifice so that our lives can be united with that sacrifice, so that we can receive from this Mass the grace, the power to go forth to be light for the world.